You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays to discuss all things Wisconsin and political. We have a double shot of Dan Schaefer this week, who is at the convention in Wisconsin over the weekend. Good morning, Dan. You must be tired. It was a long weekend for you.
It was a long weekend, but happy to join you here on Matt Nair on Air as always. And yes, it was quite the weekend at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells for the WISDEMS 2025 convention, talking about the road to 2026 and electing a new chair. The farewell convention for Ben Wickler. In so many ways. And I think Ben maybe took the stage, about 20 different times over the course of the 2-day convention to talk. But it was, definitely a celebration of Ben Wickler's 6 years as chair of the party. And then looking ahead to the future after they elected Devin Remicker as the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So lots going on, as always.
What do we know about Devin Remicker? Other than the fact that, because Ben Wickler had endorsed him leading up to this.
That's right. Yeah, Wickler endorsed Remicker in this race. Remicker was the executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin for quite some time. He was one of the leaders of the Harris Walls campaign in Wisconsin last year. He is a native of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, went to UW-La Crosse, and has, really been part of the party for quite a while. In Wisconsin. So I think he, of the people running, he seemed kind of like the more internal WISDEMS, kind of insider choice. Joe Zepecki running a little bit from outside of the party, and then William Garcia running and he came in third place in the final votes there for that. But I think Remicker is going to be, he really billed this as kind of a continuation of what was going right for Democrats in Wisconsin. I think even at one point in one of the speeches he gave, it's just like, well, national Democrats were rolling over, Wisconsin Democrats were putting up a fight. And I think he kept saying that in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party works. And so for whatever dysfunction you might see on a national scale for the Democratic Party, I think that part of his message was to say that, what we're doing in Wisconsin is working. And I think by and large, the results of the spring election have absolutely reinvigorated the party. I think there was so many people after the loss in November. I wonder what this type of convention would be like had it not been for Susan Crawford's 10-point victory in April,
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more hair on fire, maybe.
Like, wringing of hands.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And really, like, you think about it, too. Like, the past, the first Donald Trump v. Clinton. But the 2016, 2020, 2024 were tumultuous for Wisconsin, back and forth, in a time when the presidential election since Reagan went to Democrats. But Wisconsin, when it becomes our election, our statewide election, we lock it down. We get it in and we talk about the important things. And we see a different attitude. And Dan, I believe you talked about this too, is that in the April election of this year, things really shifted left in all counties and all parts of the state. Areas that went for Trump, I mean, they didn't become all of a sudden blue havens, but they definitely showed a tick towards the left. And I think if the Wisconsin Democrats can capitalize on the work that Ben Wickler has done, I think there can be some really good things happening, especially in those wow counties, the bow counties, and those areas that people are like, well, those are Republican strongholds. And also with fair maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and Wickler, I think the number that they were saying at the convention that under, his leadership, Democrats or democratically aligned candidates had won 10 of the last 13 statewide races since he took the helm in 2019. So a pretty impressive record overall. Obviously, flipping the state Supreme Court was a big part of that, coming up short in November. But, the closest of all of the swing states In the country too. So I think, you know, Remicker will have an opportunity to, you know, kind of carry the torch from Wickler. And it was an interesting vote. It was contentious. It was close. Both camps had a lot of signs, you know, floating around the convention for the weekend, but then it did go to a second round in the ranked choice voting on Sunday. So this was held with ranked choice voting for the first time because they had three candidates running for it. In the first round of voting, Remicker received 437 votes. Sopecki got 330 and Garcia had 139. So then Garcia drops off for the second round. Mm-hmm. And then those kind of second place votes within those ranks, Remicker ended up with 485 to Sopecki's 415.
So, wow, close,
you know,
though.
Pretty close, really close. Ultimately at the end of the day. Yeah. So a really interesting vote. Interesting that they had it with ranked choice voting. And then, you know, on down the line, it was also two new party officers were elected. They ran unopposed. So Sarah Godlewski is now the first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And Joshua Taylor, who's been the chair of the party's fourth congressional district, was elected as second vice chair as well. So some change within a couple of the officers of the party as well. And with Godlewski, I do wonder if, you know, the fact that she's been a more public face for in a lot of different places. She's, you know, taken this both state treasurer and secretary of state's office and done a little bit more with it than we might expect.
Right.
You know, I wonder if she might take a similar approach to the first vice chair role as well.
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He was at the WIS Dems convention over the weekend, and we're doing a little recap of what happened, including the election of Devin Remicker as the head of WIS Dems. I think it's interesting that they did ranked choice voting. I know that that's something that there's a push to see more of this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just overall, like, democracy reforms are really interesting. And I thought it was great that WIS Dems, you know, as advancing this, you know, as a platform or as an option to go about it. You know, we're seeing in the national news, like the mayor of New York election, mm-hmm. Mayor of New York City election that's happening right now will also be a ranked choice vote. So that's going to be interesting to watch there as well. But I think, you know, sometimes we've seen people talk about, hey, let's do ranked choice voting. Like in the legislature, they talked about, you know, a couple people talked about wanting to do ranked choice voting. Oh, but not for us, but for, you know, members of Congress or something like that. So I thought it was good of the Democrats to say, we approve of this and we're actually going to adopt it to elect our chair and our party officers.
Yeah, so, it's kind of tough to say this is a really good thing that we should do, but we don't want to do this thing. That's kind of tough.
I have a question, Dan, I'm asking you to give me your opinion on like the behind the scenes stuff. And
yeah,
I found something very interesting. So when Ben Wickler decides to step down, we saw people throwing their hats in the ring, and one of the first people is Joe Sopecki. I mean, I think the day, like, either the day after or the weekend after, and he came out strong with lots of endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Wickler had said, I'm not going to endorse anybody. And then in the last couple of weeks, he endorsed Devin, I almost said Lemahieu, but remind me his last name.
That'd be a surprise.
Right? but why do you think he endorsed him? And B, and this is our, I don't want to get conspiracy theory or like politics, was it because Joe Sopecki was, as you said, an outsider showing a lead or real good chance of getting it? And they'd be like, no, we want to keep it like within, I don't know, don't elect the outsider guy. Don't let's keep it with us. I mean, that, I know that's a lot for you to comment on. And
it's
a
fair question, though.
If you don't want to, I understand. But it just seemed very weird that he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, which is very odd. Because, you know, it would be easier not to endorse anybody, but he took heat for doing this. And it seemed like it happened in the moment where it's the outside guy, Joe Sopecki, who, you know, I think would have done a great job. I loved his attitude towards statewide inclusion and community, but was it too much? And they're like, no, we got to keep one of our guys in this chair.
Yeah, so, you know, I interviewed Ben Wickler about a month ago, and it happened to be the day after that he endorsed Remicker, and mm-hmm. so I asked him about it. He had initially said he was going to remain neutral, and Wickler said, he just said he changed his mind and that he's just like, it's an election. Everybody gets their say. I do wonder if, you know, that was a significant factor in swinging some votes over. I know some people were just like, didn't really exactly love, you know, the decision, his decision to endorse in the race. But I think, you know, look, it was, I don't think it was a coincidence that Remaker announced his campaign for this within hours of Wickler stepping down.
Yeah.
Like it just seemed like he was, you know, kind of the internal pick to continue on and, you know, grab the torch from Wickler and continue with like the same type of approach that they have been. I joked with Ben in that interview that, using one of my favorite jokes from the HBO series Veep, the campaign line, continuity with change.
God, that show is good. So good.
So good.
And that to me, it kind of like what we spoke about last week. And if you want to listen to our interview with Dan from last week, go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can listen to the Friday episode. We're talking about your article regarding Tony Evers. And we're talking about the idea of primaries versus picking the next person or just allowing that person, you know, the guy in charge to just walk past everybody else and say, he's the one. Mm-hmm. This notion of we want primaries, we want choices, I think gets muted when the guy who is beloved, who says he's not going to endorse, then comes out and says he endorses the guy who literally comes out, who literally announced hours after Ben announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. It just, for me, there's a little pain there. Go like, oh, you could that will always bother me. That will always bother me.
I do wonder if there's a comparison to be made in this race between the race for Wisdom's chair and the race for DNC chair. So, you know, just as Zepecki was kind of mounting these, you know, endorsements when he announced and stuff like that, Ben Wickler was in the same role, mm-hmm. kind of as more of the party outsider compared to Ken Martin, who had been, you know, an officer within the DNC for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, some of us were surprised to see Ken Martin win that, but he had been kind of lining up a run for this type of role for a really long time. And I wonder if there's, you know, Devin Remaker is the Ken Martin in this analogy and Joe Zepecki is the Ben Wickler in this analogy,
well,
where maybe a little bit more of a public persona for Zepecki, but maybe didn't have the support from within the party, within the delegates and all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Ben Wickler, but he may not want to get too comfortable because whether or not Ken Martin's going to remain in that spot after he was caught on tape saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. What, have you been there for 2 months?
It's not great, Jane.
No,
it's not great.
It's not good.
This job is hard.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard.
Oh, I got to talk to all the Democrats? Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Ben, I don't know. You might get tapped for this yet.
Yeah. That's an interesting analogy, Dan. That's very, very interesting. Because, yeah, I just couldn't, when I saw that he was elected, when Devin Remaker was elected, I'm like, that just, it stuck in my craw, to quote my grandpappy.
Well, and I think some, unfortunately, that can lead to both parties are the same. Both parties do this.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
One is not better than the other. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area. Stay close. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855 752 4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A double dose of recombobulating this week. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan was at the WISDEMS convention over the weekend here in Wisconsin.
And not only stuff happening with a brand new chair, but Dan, you sat down with Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who was, if I'm not mistaken, the keynote speaker of that event, correct?
That's right. He was the keynote speaker. Saturday night at the convention is kind of when all of the different big names in Wisconsin politics will deliver their speeches. And Warnock was the one to cap off the night. He delivered a terrific speech. But moments before he delivered that speech, I got a chance to sit down with him for a few minutes and interview the senator, which was a real treat. And you know, he had some really interesting things to say. There are some commonalities between Wisconsin and Georgia, both being, you know, swing states, both having, you know, being purple states, and the challenges that can come with that. And, you know, he talked about the big, ugly bill working its way through Congress. He talked about working with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Both Georgia and Wisconsin are both non-expansion states for Medicaid, and that's something right. That both of them have worked on at a federal level to try and make some change there as well, and talked about kind of where Wisconsin's position is nationally and what type of significance the spring election had in Wisconsin too. So had 10 minutes with the senator, and we touched on a lot. So go check out that interview at the Recombobulation Area.
And we have a small clip of that conversation that you gave to us. Calvin, can you play that clip of Dan talking to Senator Raphael Warnock? I mean, it says it right there, Dan. I mean, I see videos projecting the taxes for poor people will go up versus tax cuts for billionaires will also go up. I mean, we're talking about a bill here that is going to penalize people for being poor and food insecure and just not being a guy who can call up and talk to the president when they want to. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I didn't know how much Georgia had in common with Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you know the way he talked about this being, you know, quote, the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. I mean, that's a really significant statement to me from somebody like Warnock, who has, you know, he in his keynote speech at the convention talked about some of his personal background, talked about you know, working his way up from being a poor child to being a U.S. senator. And relying on, you know, programs like Head Start, programs like food assistance, programs like that really matter. And he talked about how he campaigned in Georgia in a lot of rural areas and small towns. And he said there were a lot of people who were surprised to see him come back after the election as well, to continue having that conversation with people. And I think, you know, he talked about it in the context of, you know, what some of his Republican counterparts are going to be doing. And, you know, there are a lot of people serving in red districts across the country who are representing those who are going to be losing Medicaid coverage, will be losing their food assistance, will be losing a few other things. And so one of his quotes was saying, quote, "And my Republican colleagues have got to decide, are they going to fight for their own constituents? The constituents in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district, is she going to fight for them, or is she going to carry the MAGA banner? That's the question before her, and Wisconsin faces a similar question."
Well, and a question I have too is if these individuals who supported and voted for Donald Trump, not the politicians, but the real people, when they see their benefits go away, when they see their taxes go up, will they hold those Republican lawmakers
Accountable.
Will they hold their feet to the fire at election time? Will qualified candidates primary them?
But I heard a statistic coming in this morning that said only one of five Americans are aware of what is in this budget bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that four out of five have no idea. It's like Project 2025.
Yeah.
It's out there, but unless it's really in your face, I don't know that a lot of people really understand what this is going to do.
It's a disaster of a bill.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Warnock's comments on this and just talking about the way he has worked with Tammy Baldwin over the years to address some of the similar challenges. And you know, I think both being swing states, both being states that have large urban centers and many rural small towns. And I think, you know, that their focus on, you know, being senators for the whole state is something I heard a lot from Tammy Baldwin last year. I had a chance to interview her as well. And it was interesting to, you know, see the similar approach being taken by Raphael Warnock, who reminded me as well that he won five elections in 3 years, which, you know, that's pretty impressive.
You should get a medal or a day off or a chocolate
something
prize basket.
That.
I mean, that is amazing.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is absolutely fabulous. So is he. Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again on Friday.
Thanks so much. Be well.
See ya.
Stay close. News coming up next. Audio sorbet when we return. Ooh, it's a tough question today. Bagels toasted or no? That's on the other side. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show around 10:51-ish. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Calvin found this one.
He's good at them.
He is good at them.
He is our Tisbat hunter.
He is the Tisbat hunter. You can be as well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Use that same address to contact the show. If there's a business that you think would be good for Beyond the Cheese. Mm,
yes, please.
If there is a fundraiser in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or wherever you are around the state, you can always get in touch with the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. It is 10:36. This is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
I feel cleansed already.
Right? It's a cleansing for the ear away from the heavy topics of the news and all of those things that are a little bit exhausting. So we like to take a little break and lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. This could be a very contentious argument.
Yes. I heard it is.
People have strong feelings about this. So here we go. Bagels toasted or no? 855-752-4842. Bagels toasted or no? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I've read.
Why? Okay. Then I respond with this question.
Okay.
Why would a purist say that?
I think because I always imagine like the creation of the bagel out east as a New York City creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that New Yorkers.
Many people are saying.
Do not toast their bagels. Do not toast bagels. And I am not a bagel purist. I love toasted bagels.
I would honestly, like, I feel like the purist line, like, why? I can understand.
So, I don't know if it's the texture.
It's the freshness.
It's the freshness and the texture is unadulterated, non-toasted.
The flavor is untouched by the heat of the toaster oven.
There's something going on, but I guess toasting. changes the bagel in a way that is a crime.
The toaster oven changes the molecular structure of the goodness that is America, the bagel.
See, I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear. That's what it's called. It's called a schmear.
I know, but the way you said it, I wish there was like, you know, inspirational music behind it as nothing better. I'm just going to do a lot of voices during this segment because that's what I want to do because this is fun. But I don't know. I guess I go, I guess maybe call me a super progressive. I go both ways.
Oh, because you're a bagel swing.
Calvin, don't look at the camera like that. I see your face. Your face can't hide your disdain of what I just said. He's a bagel purist. It's like he eats them raw. They don't even bake them.
They don't even have to
he's
cook
just like,
them.
He's just
yeah,
like,
just
I
give
just
me
want,
the dough.
Give me the dough. Throw the dough at my face and some cream cheese.
Audio survey today. Bagel, toasted or no. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Luann, is it Wonderos?
Wonderos.
Wonderos, okay.
Correct us if we're wrong, Luann.
Because yeah, I think of Underoos.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so Wonderos.
Listening on W-A-L-A-K in
English. She says, and this I feel like is very, very stern.
Specific.
Sliced. Buttered and grilled, or not at all.
There you go.
I kind of enjoy that sort of like she gets
the vehemence.
If she goes to a restaurant and they hand her a bagel and it's not buttered and or not grilled, it's like, excuse me, garçon.
Hello.
Do you not know the ways of the bagel? I order them sliced, buttered, and grilled, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Not at all.
855-752-4842. Audio survey today. Bagels, toasted, or no. 855-75-CIVIC. I prefer a toasted bagel. I like a nice Asiago with a cream cheese and chive cream cheese, onion and chive.
I personally, okay, so this is why I could go both ways. If I'm buying store-bought in a bag and they're in my fridge, or not my fridge, don't come at me for how I store my bagels, it's my life, I'm probably going to toast it. I want that buttery, melty, or if it's a plain, I will endeavor into peanut butter and or jelly. If it's a savory, if you try to give me a sweet schmear, I will scream in your face and run away.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
But
a thing.
If I'm going to a deli, if I'm in New York, I'll. But in Rome, I'll go fresh, untoasted.
Untoasted.
I think that's the thing is, if I'm going to a restaurant that's making them fresh in house, I don't think I'm going to get it toasted because I think it's going to
be an
soft
affront to the baker.
Less so than I feel like it's going to be fresh. I don't feel like what I'm getting in the store is super fresh, so just toast it and get it nice and warm and get that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Come on, Jane. Let's just be honest here. Can we have a moment? Folks, can we have a moment of honesty?
Brutal honesty.
I want a moment. Calvin, can you just play the harp music for me really quick? Just really quick. A moment of honesty with Greg.
Okay.
Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them?
It's a cream cheese delivery system.
It's a conduit for the schmear or the jelly or whatever.
Of course it is.
So does it really matter?
It does matter.
Does it matter?
Delivery matters. Yes. Bagels, toasted or no, 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy, fresh made, no toast.
There you go.
All right.
Steve from Milwaukee sent a couple here. Toasted makes it less dry and easier to chew, which I understand. And that's my point with the whole, are you buying it from the store or getting it from the restaurant? I understand that. And then Steve also goes on to say, I agree with Greg. If it's at a deli, it's different. It's just a different experience.
Well, and it's going to be fresher, right? Tom from Wausau listening on WXCO. If it is a fresh bagel, don't toast ever.
Love this.
If it's not fresh or from the fridge or the freezer, toast. As a sandwich, no toast. So Tom has some pretty specific bagel rules, which I appreciate.
I will not lie. Jane and I, before the show went on today, we were a little nervous talking about this topic just because it's very specific.
It is.
But I am so happy to see so many people with not just opinions, but specific opinions on this.
We got rules.
We got rules, and we also have people who know what they want and definitely know what they don't want.
Not being wishy-washy about the bagels.
And Steve, as far as blueberry cream cheese, cheese. If it's on a plain bagel, I'll try it. If it's on anything else, get out of town.
I'm with you. I don't like the sweet.
I don't like sweet bagels. I don't like sweet bagels, and
don't
sweet
schmear. Chocolate chips in my bagels.
Don't give me a dessert.
855-752-4842. Yes, the issues of the day, audio sorbet today, bagels toasted or no. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. I'm very specific that I need a toasted pumpernickel bagel.
Okay.
Ooh, and it needs to have something on it. I mean, we can, the only time I won't have it, I'm like what somebody said there, maybe, I'm not sure who said it, but if it's going to be like a lunch sandwich, mm-hmm. like a deli sandwich on mm-hmm. a bagel, well, then I don't need it toasted.
Yeah.
I might ask for that, but if there's cheese on it, I might ask. But, and I have a friend who just thinks he's been a bagel aficionado for most of his life, and he thinks anything other than a plain white bagel is a blasphemy.
It's crime.
Pumpernickel bagel. Yeah. It's like an affectation. But I think they're healthier, and I think they have a nice taste, and you can put less stuff on them. A smear, usually peanut butter or just butter or cream cheese,
I stay with your convictions, Ron, for one thing.
We all need to stand up for something.
When you talk to your friend, hold your ground for the pumpernickel bagel. I think that's fantastic.
That is also something to be said. It's the notion of, like, if you love bagels so much, why isn't a plain bagel enough? Why does it have to have melted Asiago cheese or in everything? Or
why
this
does it have to have anything?
Why does it have anything in it? Which just brings me back to my point. The bagel is the conduit. No one, like, who's eating a plain bagel with nothing? Toasted or not toasted?
855-752-4842. You nothing on it. No schmear of any kind. There's no one does that.
I just imagine that you're just like, I need carbs right now.
No, I just can't imagine anyone do it. Because you're right. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
That's like cupcakes.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why is it, if I walk into this room right now and I am just eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Why is it so less acceptable than if I'm eating it on a bagel?
That's a really interesting question. Should we just be honest?
Let's just be honest. Just you want to eat salsa? Get rid of the chips. Just spoon it out of the tub and put it in your mouth.
It would make life much more direct.
Yes. And people are like, what are you doing? Exactly what I want.
Could do that, like, because I always say cupcakes are nothing more than a frosting delivery system. So
correct.
We could just walk around with a can of frosting, I guess, and get rid of the cake.
Let's get rid of the stigma and get to what we want, which is toppings and cream cheeses.
And butter.
Now,
Calvin, you want to weigh in on the big topic of the day, bagels toasted or no?
Well, I just more wanted to weigh in on the argument that it's only a vehicle for toppings or smear. I think that's a fair point, but then I think that also applies to all bread. I would look at someone just as sideways if they were eating Wonder Bread plain as if they were eating a bagel plain.
In most instances, I would agree mm-hmm. with you, but there are some restaurants that have bread that is so, like, the bread basket is so good.
But that brings up another question then. That brings up, it's about standards and societal norms.
Now we're veering.
You're right.
We're veering.
You're right. I'm sorry. We'll go back to bagels. Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Why is it okay to eat plain bread before dinner, but I just can't have a piece of bread?
Leading to some whole new audio surveys here.
I agree.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. We're talking bagels this morning, toasted or no?
If I'm buttering it, toast. If I'm not buttering it, if I'm smearing it, then plain, not toasted.
You toast only with butter?
Yes, to melt the butter, because that's better.
Okay.
That makes total sense to me. And someone brought up before, breakfast sandwiches. I feel like if you're going to put a breakfast sandwich, especially egg and cheese on there, I think some toasting or warming needs to happen to get it all melty and good. Or that cold versus hot is a weird dichotomy. But Troy, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Especially you want to put the butter. No one wants to look at unmelted butter on a bagel.
Just a big pat of butter sitting there.
Exactly. Wonderful. This doesn't just feel like an airing of your opinions, but also tips.
Life tips. That's exactly. That's what this segment is for. Exactly. Yes, life tips. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Catch Me If You Can edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were doing audio sorbet. Big question of the day, bagels, toasted or no? And I just wanted to share Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, I'm a toasted bagel person, but I eat cream cheese and ricotta right out of the tub. See, Carmela, you're doing what you want. You're skipping the middle bread. Right? You're skipping the middle, man.
Where is my family out there who drinks pancake syrup right out of the bottle?
What?
No? Oh, just me. Oh,
I think it's just you.
Whatever.
Thank you, everyone, for taking part in that. That was a lot of fun. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Canada's own Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Hopefully he will be back from over the border. He had some plane problems and got diverted. So, yeah, he was stuck in Canada doing the show this morning. He will be joining us tomorrow morning after 9:30. And then Randy Banner, retired Major General Randy Banner, who spent more than 30 years in the U.S. military, will be joining us to talk specifically about Donald Trump sending in troops into California. Even though the governor, the attorney general, the mayor, and the chief of police never asked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Donald Trump gave a speech at Fort Bragg last week in which he encouraged the troops to boo Democrats.
Yep. That's where we're at now.
So that is all coming up tomorrow. Randy Manor will be here in hour number two. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from AJ Dellinger with the byline from gizmodo.com. Headline reads, guy scores 120 free flights by posing as flight attendant before getting busted. Yeah.
We don't talk about heroes enough on this show.
35-year-old Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant and racked up more than 100 free flights over 6 years. He's now been convicted of wire fraud and entering into a secure area of an airport under false pretenses. Tyron Alexander managed to secure flights that were supposed to be only available to pilots and flight attendants. The Department of Justice says he was able to book these flights by falsifying employment information and giving out badge numbers that allowed him to bypass security. His primary victim was a single airline. He allegedly booked 34 different flights using fake ID numbers and stuff like that. He submitted documentation that he worked for 7 different airlines and provided more than 30 different badge numbers over the course of years. He was also able to duplicate the process that let him fly for free as a faux employee across 3 more airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with just one, and it's like, well, this is going good. I may as well spread this out.
I mean, there's a reason why we picked Catch Me If You Can edition, because it sounds like that kid from the movie. And look, I do not endorse wire fraud. I do not endorse
fraud.
I do not endorse fraud at all. I really just wanted it to be like, he showed up in a uniform and they were like, yeah, sure, he's a substitute or he's a new hire or something
like that. Right.
And I'm like, man, if you can get a free flight in this world, go for it. But now you're like, oh, there's wire fraud. Okay, yeah.
And he probably, you know, he might have ended up taking someone's spot on a flight. We don't know. NBC News reported that Alexander did at one time work for an airline. headquartered in Dallas. That includes Southwest and American and Ameristar Jet Charter and Flexjet on the charter side. He started working there in 2015. At no point was he ever a flight attendant or a pilot or any of those things. While he has been convicted, Mr. Alexander is still waiting to see what his penalty will be. He will be sentenced on August 25th. Nothing in here explains how he got busted. Although this does not exactly speak highly of security protocols.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And now in my head, because I've watched a lot of movies, I just want to imagine there's one lone agent and one lone agency who's like, we got to get this guy, and it becomes this whole thing. And then, you know what I mean? Like, Catch Me If You Can, too.
But he did this over almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think at some point, this never blipped on anybody's radar.
That's what leads me to go, like, is it, like, something so heinous? It's not. It really isn't. And that's why I hope, like,
in the grand scheme of a criminal behavior, okay,
people are getting away with a lot worse.
Well, that's very true.
Or being pardoned for a lot worse. But that's for another day. I'm going to be very interested to see what the sentencing is. Will it just be some community service? Will it be
a slap on the wrist?
Or a judge in some state going, I'm throwing the book at him.
He has to work as a ground crew with no earphones.
He has to be a flight attendant as a volunteer. More peanuts.
You're the cart guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the cart guy. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we mentioned, Pat Kreitlow will be here tomorrow. Also, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us after 10 o'clock. I hope you can join us for that. We have news coming up next, and then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Our friend Todd Alba, 2 to 4. The fabulous Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And Pete Schwaben Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.